Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
This is 45 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
Welcome back into the House of Mystery. I'm Al Warren, Mr. Michael Hawley. It is a Tuesday, True Crime Tuesday.
That is correct. Eventually it's going to be a one Monday, Wednesday-ish kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I'm here now.
Yeah, you're here. You know, we have to get used to it. And well, so here we go. So Thanksgiving was good, right? You made it through?
Oh, yeah. And I had to sign some release forms, so I might be on another documentary coming up. So that's going to be pretty fun.
Yeah. You know, they're just putting out these bad shows one after another.
I've got to be part of that.
Yeah. You got to get there before, well, you still can, right? I mean,
yeah.
Pretty soon you'll be too old. You won't know what you're saying.
Well, that happens half the time, so...
Yeah, they have to cut half of it. Oh, that guy's drooling again, you know?
Right into my goatee.
Yeah, what's he saying? What did he say? He needs the bathroom again.
change another diaper.
Yeah. I can see that now. Yeah, anyway. Well, you know, it's not that bad. Hey, listen, you know, look at Dolly Parton and Cher were playing at the...
Awesome.
Look at that. And Parton in her little... outfit, you know, Dallas Cowboy cheerleader at 77. Wow.
And rocked it, yes.
Yeah, and Cher 77, too. It's like, wow.
Jeez.
That's, Jesus. How come people don't look like that in the grocery store? I don't know where they are, but.
That's right.
Mind you, your wife, she's up there too, right? She looks pretty good, but she's not that old.
Yeah, as I said, she was a nationally rated judo player, so she's a tough lady, so I'm afraid of her.
Yeah, I would be. But yeah, she's going to be like a Cher, you know. 20, 30. You better get your stuff together.
Of course.
Left behind, you know. They'll be going, does your father need help?
Don't touch my walking chair.
Yeah, that's what they'll be saying. Oh, isn't that nice? Look at that sweet girl taking her dad out for a walk.
That's right.
Terrible. Anyway. Well, today we have got a retired homicide detective. Or I believe he's a policeman. Anyway, we got to find out. Let's see what's going on here. He's a writer, and his newest book is called Sweet Thing, a novel. So let's welcome David Swinson. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, hi. Good to be here.
Hi, David.
Hey.
Well, David, so you came from the policing world.
Yeah, not homicide. I was major crimes. I worked a lot of high-profile homicide investigations, but I wasn't assigned her. I was assigned to major crimes.
Oh, okay. So major crimes is kind of all sorts of stuff then.
Yeah, it's whatever they want to give you that is high-profile.
Yeah.
How does it, I always ask this whenever we have detectives or cops or people on that retire and stuff. I always wonder how, when you're in that kind of a business and you're in it for a long time, is it hard to separate seeing people as good? You know what I mean? Because every day you go in and you're just dealing with the bad side of people and what they do bad and bad people and people that do wrong things and stuff like that. So when you're outside of that, on a day off, let's say, do you just tend to look toward people like they're doing something wrong? Is it hard to break away from that?
No. I mean, I saw a lot of the worst and a lot of the best in humanity. And it's not all bad. There's a lot of bad, a lot of death, but there's a lot of good. I try to focus on that.
I guess that's true. You know, bad things, good things do come out of bad things.
Yeah. And a lot of what I did was, when I was in Hyatt, a high-intensity drug trafficking, we put away a lot of bad guys, and that's good. You know, I mean, I felt good about that. And, you know, I wasn't dealing with a lot of victims like before, and that's can be sad when you have a lot of victims that you're dealing with. And, but like you said, there is truth to that a lot of good can come out of bad, and I've seen a lot of very, very strong people.
Yeah. Oh, I imagine. So now after you retire from that kind of work, you've gone into writing. Is this something that you've wanted to do for a long time? Have you always been writing on the side since you were a kid type thing? Or
yeah. Yeah. My first book I wrote during summer vacation when I was 17, and I got my first rejection when I was 18.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, my degree in college was film. I always thought I'd be a screenwriter, but I fell into the alternative punk rock scene and ended up promoting concerts. I didn't become a cop until a little later in life. That was something I always wanted to explore and do as well.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
But writing was always first and foremost. I always knew I'd be an author.
So you've retired and you decide to make a run for it, so to speak. You're going to be a writer and do this, you know, the full thing, the books and that. So you've gone into kind of it's crime, mystery, thriller, suspense sort of thing like that. So it's kind of, is there a lot of influence from your work, from being policing?
Yeah, nothing real at all. It's all fiction, but a lot of it is based on life experience.
It's interesting, isn't it? How that happens. So now your main character is a detective, I believe, right? Isn't that Alex Bloom?
Yeah.
And so where does he come from, and how is your interaction with your characters? Like when you write a character like Alex Bloom, do you hear them? Do you see them, feel them? Like, do you have that kind of relationship, or what's it like for you?
Well, yeah, they stay with me for months before I actually start writing the story. And, I just get to know their history, write their history down. They start living inside of me and having dialogue and stuff like that, how they talk. And then when the story starts, it always starts with the character. And then I write by the seat of my pants. And so the story always falls into place, hopefully. And I don't outline. So I just sit down and try to write. And then hopefully it happens.
So you start with your character. Are there, like, aspects of your character that really kind of...
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Put you into the idea to get a book like Sweet Thing?
Yeah, I mean, I get the basic idea that I want to explore. And so there are certain character traits that I like. I like involving a mother who is in assisted living with dementia. And certain things like that I'll throw at the character.
So you're throwing things at your character because you want to...
Oh, yeah.
Because you really want to see how they change, I guess.
Yeah, you need to see them evolve or, in his case, evolve.
So then your life experiences, especially as a detective, you've got a lot of stuff to fill in on those pages.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's all, I don't go for anything real or anything that happened. Yeah, I've been there, and I've experienced a lot, you know, being a cop and, you know, other things. I wasn't always a cop. And, you know, I try to put that life experience on the page, and I also try to put the city I'm working on the page, too.
Is it D.C., Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, Washington, D.C., yeah.
Okay.
All my books have been Washington, D.C.,
so, like, you had, like, the shopping cart killer. I think that was in Washington, D.C., and that sniper killer.
I don't know the shopping cart one, but I know the sniper. I was sort of, everyone was involved in that.
Oh, were they? Okay.
Yeah, and then you had the shotgun killer. And,
okay.
Yeah, there was the murder capital for a long time.
Right.
Shopping cart, that was me.
They don't know yet. They don't know yet. You're giving it away.
They'll be getting a knock on the door now.
Yeah, what are you doing?
A little more than a knock, probably.
Yeah, kick and bang, you know. Yeah, but I think that both Mike and I write nonfiction and true stories, and so we deal with a lot of different characters, let's just say. I know I met people in prison and all sorts of stuff, right? And you kind of pick up how people react and stuff, and I think that really helps the book, mm-hmm. you know, for me. Do you ever sort of really, do you live out your character then, like Alex Bloom? Are you sort of living through that character as you write and go through these situations?
No, I don't want, you know, well, for instance, Frank Marr, which was the second girl, was one of the New York Times top 10 crime fiction books of the year and stuff, and which is phenomenal. But I bring that book up because Frank Marr, I would not want to live. You know, he was an addict, you know, and a cop retired quietly because of his addiction problem. So what you mean by live it out, you mean?
Well, I mean, like when, because like when, a lot of times when we talk to authors, like they sort of, they're like you in the sense that they're writing a character, Alex Bloom, it's fictional, but he's, you know, he's a homicide, and you put things, you throw things at him, like, you know, you've got different series of events that you're going to put him through. And in order to write that character to where it sounds real and they act and seem real and say the right things, so to speak, you sort of have to feel it.
Oh, he's alive, definitely. Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, they're alive in me, without a doubt. All my characters.
And so do you think that changes you? But like when you go through a book, like when the writing of Sweet Thing, however long it took you to do it. So you go through this whole book, it's completed now, it's done in the publisher, it's out, and that. Do you think that experience during that time of writing changes you in some aspect?
Yeah, of course. You know, the Marr books, definitely, you know, he stayed with me, and, you know, and he comes back in Sweet Thing in a smaller role. And there are a lot of things that stay with me that I throw at the character, like the homicide, the death scenes and, you know, stuff like that. I mean, I'll think about them, you know, in bed and not wanting to think about them. And then the character does stay with me, too. And I don't want to give away anything, but I mean, it was it's tragic. This is a tragic story.
I guess at the end of it, does it end up being sort of a subtext or a meaning to the story? I mean, you might not have intended it because, like you say, you don't outline. You just sort of, you're going by the seat of your pants and you're kind of throwing things at the character and you're going through it and you get to the end of the book. So sometimes this just happens organically, but is there some sort of a, do you think there's a subtext or a meaning to the story?
I think there's always meaning to, you know, stories. And I try not to find meaning to my stories. It is organic, like you said, and that's how I like to write. And that's why I'm really impressed a lot of times when I read reviews and they find meaning to it that I go, yeah, okay, that's good. I like that.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's exactly what I meant to do, you know? And then the bad reviews, you know, well, yeah, well, I sort of meant to do that. It's too bad you didn't like it. But I don't, if you were to ask me what is the meaning of a Sweet Thing or any of my books, I would not know.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's not intentional. It just sort of happens.
Yeah, I don't think it is. For me, it's not intentional at all. I don't think I think there are some that can do that. And, you know, that's incredible if they can. But I don't think I think it comes to a lot of writers when they write and then, you know, it says something really, I'm not saying it's me, you know, says something really great, you know, and that they did not intend for it to, you know. I often think about, like, for instance, To Kill a Mockingbird, did she intend to make it have that kind of meaning, you know, all those meanings, you know, and or it just happened organically. I wish I could have talked to Harper Lee. That's the one book, I guess, that stands out in your question, like a book with incredible meaning.
Well, and sometimes it can be something small in your life, I think, that happens, happens to you, and you take that and you put it into something and it turns out to be very meaningful to a lot of people.
Oh, you're intuitive, because my mother was an Ashkenazi Jew, and she suffered from dementia, but it was ovarian cancer that got it. So very much, yeah, I brought that into the book. So those things, yeah, I that doesn't really, it's not like me trying to say something. It's just something I'm bringing in for the character. I'm not trying to get into dementia and what it means and all this kind of stuff, but just the pain of it, I guess, for the mother doesn't really experience the pain. But for him and his family members, yeah, there's a lot of pain having to go through that with a loved one. Yeah, yeah. And there's a difference if you experience it and it's personal to you than, you know, like a victim or a case or something like that. You don't do that. You don't do that. It's, first of all, you'll get sued. But unless it's true crime and you get, you know, all the whatever, the waivers or whatever, you get signed. But in fiction, I think there was an author that did that and used an actual autopsy report. And it was so unusual, the autopsy report, that a family member read it. Excuse me. So that was my child. And it was.
Yeah, you have to, for me, too, if I'm doing an up-to-date crime story, I'm always, I get everybody involved, all the family members I can, everybody, the police.
Yeah, that's the
way. Yeah, because not only that, I want them, it's their story, it's not mine. I'm telling it, and I want to make sure that, you know, I understand it, and I can only do that if I get a lot of people involved and get them so that they're like, and I send it to them before it gets published and say, so how's this? And yeah, I think it's important to do it right. And
yeah,
I think the good thing is in fiction, like you can take the feelings from things you've seen or been through. You don't have to write them as a story, but you can absorb that kind of emotion and kind of.
Yeah, let it come out. And you do want to get everything right in fiction too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So is there a level of therapeutic value that when you write like that then?
Definitely. When you actually, it's very painful until I sit down and actually do it. But when it starts happening, then it's, and I get past like 10,000 words or whatever, and it just starts going, then it's very therapeutic. It's wonderful.
I always say the good thing about the crime fiction writer is you get to, if you want, you get to, serve justice in a sense, because so many times in real life when you see stories or you see what happens to sometimes to people, you realize, wow, you know, there no real justice happened, you know, not for anybody's fault, it's just sort of the way it went. Sometimes the criminal gets away, you know, so to speak, and it's like I guess in fiction you can make sure the criminal gets it.
Yeah, you can get your bad guy, definitely. Sometimes not.
Well, you said that you like there. You had an element of tragedy in your book, so you might like that not.
Yeah, no, it's a different kind of justice in this book. It's not the judicial system.
that it can only go so far, and it can only be one thing, you know. And I guess. When you write this sort of stuff, how does it make you feel at the end? Are you happy about the stories and the way it's going and everything like that? Or do you feel like, what's it do for you?
Sometimes that, you know, I mean, in this case, I was very sad, you know, but, with, all of my other books, they were left open and, you know, I really liked that. So yeah, I it's weird when I finish a book, there's this emptiness that overwhelms me, you know? It's like it's over. Damn. Okay. Well, but it's not really over because there's the editorial process, there's the copy editing process, there's everything else that has to happen. So it's never really over. It is, actually. When it's out, it's born and it's over. But when you first finish, I don't know if you guys feel this, but I hit that last word and it's done, there's a real emptiness.
Oh, certainly. And, you know, and then the edit process and the publisher process and all that stuff is just, I hate it.
I actually love it. I love my editor. I mean,
I do. I love mine too. Like, I'm not slamming her because it's just, I just hate the process.
Well, you better be careful.
Yeah. Hopefully she's not listening.
No. You see, and I met her through one of the very first publishers I've had. She was editing for them. And I liked her. I liked the way she did it. And I liked the way she challenged me. It was just good. Mm-hmm. And so when I move on, even working for other publishers, I still send my work to her. She still does
the edit. Really?
Yeah, I still work with her. And then I take that edit it process, and then I send it to publishers.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah.
My editor's with the publisher.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, mine still will be, but I'm very, I connect it with someone, and I like having that pre-edit, and then I edit, and then I can send it out to them, and then they can go at it what it does, but I just like the work with the edit, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I've had 6 books with Josh Kendall at Mulholland Little Brown, and like you said, I mean, he definitely challenges me, and he's made me a better writer. I mean, really, and I think that's incredible when an editor can just, do that to you, you know? And I look forward. Sometimes I'm scared at first. I'm like, is he going to like it? But then once it passes and all that, then we get started. It can be fun.
Yeah.
So do you have beta readers before you do that? Do you have anybody to help you out or just to say, I like this one or?
Friends and loved ones, and
yeah, right.
Just a handful of people, not beta readers, but people I know, which are the people you can't trust.
Yeah,
you're gonna go, it's good, man. We love it.
Yeah.
You know? It's good, and it sucks.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
No, my wife tells me when it sucks.
Actually, Jennifer would tell me when it sucks too. Yeah. Very bluntly.
Yeah.
And so would a couple, in all fairness, a couple of my friends would also tell me, David, I don't know. And my agent actually is very good about that. I try to let her, not try, I let her read it first. And her kind of wording is like, are you sure you want to put this out? She's a little more kind, you know?
Yeah. You know, that's like, are you sure?
Yeah. Then you go, maybe I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
He's an agent for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very diplomatic.
Yeah. No, you know, and don't get me wrong. Like I said, I like working with the editor in that way, but it's just, it's a different process, right? It's not the same as when you're down there creating and stuff. And it's true. Editors do make you a better writer. Mm-hmm. If you're open to it, if you're working with one and they throw things at you, then you go, oh yeah. Cause they're just spotting out. A good editor will make you a better writer is actually really what you should look for in an editor anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and does it, do you ever get bothered by reviews then? I mean, cause you're putting a lot of this, it's close to you in a sense, you know, it is when we write books, it is too. And, sometimes you put your feelings in characters and doing things. And then someone writes and goes, well, that character's awful. Or I don't like this person. Do you ever sort of.
Not from book reviewers. Readers, on social media or like Goodreads or whatever. I try not to read those because some of them can, be pretty bad. Which a lot of them can be great, but I would be very bothered by, if a big newspaper or magazine or, blog, just, tore it apart, or trade, that'd hurt.
Oh, you just hunt them down.
Yeah, I can't, unfortunately, I would not last long in jail. I've got intense claustrophobia.
Well, then off them in your next book, then.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. We talked to writers. I've got some New York Times writers, that said that that's what they do. They actually, not so much necessarily book reviewers, but people they've met in their life, they've come across people or someone that's been really rude to someone else in front of them, and they've kind of taken that person and used them as their a bad character that they end up having something awful happen to. And
well, Sean Cain in the book is a homicide detective in real life, and Sean Cain is the name. It's not him in the book, but I asked him permission, can I use your name? And I got him shot in the shoulder. But he's a friend of mine,
Yeah.
And I've used a lot of And the Frank Marr book, I can't remember which one. I think Crime Song. Jeffrey Baldwin, if you notice the picture of me on the flap, it says photo by Jeffrey Baldwin. He's a very good friend of mine. I kill him in Crime Song. And then Chris Doyle I kill in and sweet thing.
So you got to watch out. You being a friend is pretty dangerous.
Yeah, don't need enemies.
Yeah. No, I think it's an honor to be killed in a book. Do you know that James Patterson, a couple of books ago, that he wrote with Jim O'Bourne, someone said, hey, you got to read this chapter. And there were two chapters, and I read a chapter, and then it introduces this detective hopping out of an Explorer, Detective David Swinson. And then in another chapter later on, it goes, and then the fat detective, David Swinson. I'm far from, I have nothing against, overweight people. I mean, but I'm not overweight at all. I really take care of myself and I eat well. So that was just a real rivet, in a good way. I didn't take offense to it at all.
No. He's a funny guy. We just had him a week or so ago.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Speaking of that, David, you said that you have read some of his stuff. Does that influence you in your own writing?
I wouldn't want anybody to take offense to this, but no, not really, no. I mean, sometimes I'll go, that's really good with story and stuff like that. But the things that influence me are like rereading like To Kill a Mockingbird and Charles Dickens and stuff like that. I mean, I have a lot. I'm reading right now, and I can't say I'd be lying if I say I'm not being influenced by it, because it is. Is David Joy's Those We Thought We Knew is brilliant. And his blurb is on the cover of Sweet Thing for me. And he's one of those outstanding writers, so he's alive. And there's a lot of living authors, that of course, I take it back, that I am very influenced by, but I can't name them because there's just too many of them, and I'm going to forget one of them, and the other one's going to go, why didn't you mention me?
Well, Patterson can't write, don't worry about it.
Huh?
Patterson can't write, so don't worry.
Well, he doesn't really write his stuff, does he?
Well, a lot of it, he does. He has a lot of it.
But I think like his co-writers write most of it. I don't know.
It seems like he puts he does quite a big outline.
Yeah, I that's what I hear. Is he does the outline and he calls you at like 3 a.m. and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
That up.
No, it's that's not far off. That's what he's like.
Okay.
He's doing. Yeah. He's calling people at 2 or 3 a.m.
So he is obviously. I mean, he does write a lot. Especially the outline is the hardest part. I don't outline, like I said, but that would be the hardest part for me to do. If someone gave me an outline, make my job easier.
Well, we'll work on that. I'll get him to send it. No, I think it's all good, right? I mean, I'm sort of like you too, but I'm listening to a lot of books more so than reading because I have so little time, but I'm doing a lot of older stuff. I'm really stuck in the 40s and 50s.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I love Higgins, like The Friends of Eddie Coyle is one of my favorite books, and all those books, definitely.
I think that's sort of because there's different ways you can write crime, and I'm guessing from your sound and the way I write and what you're reading, you are really into the character and the emotions and a lot of the stuff that goes with it. It's not just bang, bang.
No, it's definitely an emotional roller coaster sometimes. For me, I'm not talking about for the reader. I don't know, maybe. But, that's what I like. And I like books like that, too, whether they're nonfiction or fiction.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. There's a connection. And and you kind of get into the character that way.
Yeah, I have to have a connection with the character.
Yeah, because the character is the most important, right? Because when you look at stuff like, look at some of the biggest characters in life, you can even go to Sherlock Holmes. Modern people still go to England and look for where he lives and stuff. He was never alive. But But if the character captures, if you can write a character that captures people, it'll live forever.
Yeah.
Like Moriarty, the antagonist too.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
You gotta have it. And that's kind of I think but that's great. That's great stuff, to write that way. Well, we'll get you an outline. I'll get one written.
I can use it.
Well, where do you see this going then? How do you you're just doing it? So when you write a series like this, like with when you've got detective or something and you're writing a series about it, how far do you go with that series? Do you kind of, because you don't outline, so you just sort of do it as it goes?
Well, Sweet Thing's a standalone. Frank Marr was a trilogy, But he can come back, and I'd like to bring him back. My next book for Mulholland Books is tentatively called Hound of Heaven, and I'm working on that now. And that'll take place in upstate New York, and but deal with a retired D.C. homicide detective. But I don't know whether that would be cool if that became a series. Yeah, I like series, but I really sort of, after three books of writing a character, I sort of like lose interest.
Yeah.
You know? And I get, fan mail, and a lot of people go, where's Frank Marr? We want Frank Marr. Bring him back. So I know, one day I have to bring him back, and I'd like to.
Well, but when you did Frank Marr and stuff, when you're doing that as a three-part series, you never thought about it at the beginning. When you're writing a book at the beginning, you're not going, okay, this is going to be a series. I'm going to do.
Well, actually, the first book I did. Okay. I didn't. And then the first book ended up getting me a three-book deal with my publisher, and they encouraged me, we need more of him. And so I wrote two more of him. And then I just couldn't write any more of him. And I love him, but I just, nowhere else I thought I could go.
Well, bring him back. That's Francis Marr. He's had a sex change.
Yeah, there you go.
Actually, coincidentally, who I have a film agent, and that book almost came a series and a film so many times. It never happened. And I just put a bug in his ear and said, listen, what would be really cool is, can you get the second girl, to Jennifer Garner? And I'm putting this out there, yeah. And, as Frankie Marr. Because she was so cool and peppermint. She's tough and at the same time fragile, but tough. And Frank is fragile and tough. So, Frank can be a girl or a boy, Frankie Marr. Yeah, definitely.
There you go, you see.
Yeah, but no, I can't bring him back with sex change. But she could, bring him back in a film. That would be way cool.
Yeah.
Or a series,
Yeah.
But or some any woman could do Frank Marr.
Oh, there you go. We see. We're working on it.
See?
We'll get it worked out.
Give her a call, man.
Yeah, there you go. She's not on my speed dial, so sorry.
Oh,
Now the book's out, and at the end of the day, what do you hope readers get out of the book? Are you looking for? Is it just great entertainment, great action, fun?
I hope they just enjoy the read. They're not disappointed. They can get involved in the characters.
How do you write your action or your violence? The action scenes and stuff like that, or do you put much of that in there?
Yeah, it does have a lot of action clues. I actually just remember my actions, personal action scenes, and it's the book's first person, so I write it in his point of view, and so it's almost like writing from my point of view, again, not based on anything real, but based on a lot of, fights I've been in and stuff like that, and shootings I've witnessed and things like that. Action is, tricky, not the most difficult thing for me. What is difficult for me is, making sure the characters are right.
Yeah. So is it particularly violent then? Does it get really?
Yeah, it can get a little violent. All my books get a little violent.
Okay. You kind of like that, eh?
Well, that's, I don't know, that's a little warped.
Well, it keeps it going too, right? You need to have some of the action.
Yeah, no, you have to have some. Well, you don't have to have violence in all books, but in crime fiction, you should have a little bit.
Yeah, because it's kind of what keeps it moving and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of interesting. Well, listen, so are you doing social media, and do you have a website, and do you have all that sort of stuff? Are you online and available?
Yeah, no, there's davidswinson.com, and I'm on Twitter, Case Jackets is my Twitter sign. And then I'm on Facebook as David Swinson, and then Instagram. It's all public, so I welcome anybody that wants to, friend me.
And you doing TikTok yet, or?
No, my gosh, I can't do that. No, that's one thing I want to touch. No, that's just
thing.
Yeah, I don't do anything with my face going out there, but also I don't really like TikTok.
Johan, come on. You could put on like a mask and a hat. And you
could... Yeah, then I'd be some sort of freak, an older freak. And...
Well, they won't know that. Just put a mask on.
Get a knock on the door by the local PD here.
Yeah. Well, Sven Gulli does it. Come on. You can do it. just say your name's Michael Hawley. How's that?
It'll work. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I will, actually.
Try it.
Just say you're him. And
60,000 apps right there.
I'll grow my goatee out like him. And do you still have that, Michael?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I see your pictures. So.
Yeah, and just and hold up the book. You know, buy this book. It's really good. I like this writer. You know, dance, get a dog. You know,
I'll do a moonwalk.
Do a moonwalk.
Yeah. I don't know about you guys.
No, most people.
No, I love you already, man. You're great. You're my kind of people. But,
well, you know, you got to laugh at it all because these things just are going on around us and we just keep getting older. And
I know, you know, there's stuff out there right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're trying to have a good time. Best we can is with what we've got. And that's all you can do, right?
Yeah.
You know, everything else is just fiction. Well, we appreciate you on the show. And of course.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And the book, of course, is called Sweet Thing. It's a novel. And, of course, our guest has been the author, David Swinson. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Nice speaking with you, David.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.